beginning, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray the unity prayer. My adorable Jesus, may our feet journey together. Make our hands gather in unity. Make our hearts beat in unison. Make our souls be in harmony. Make our thoughts be as one. Make our ears listen to the silence together. Make our glances profoundly penetrate each other. Make our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. Amen. We ask our Heavenly Father to send His Holy Spirit upon us as we read the Book of Heaven, the sections of Adam, through the intercession of Mary, our Mother. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Volume 25, number 69, January 1st, 1929. My daughter, in the first epoch of his life, by sinning, Adam made a wound to his soul through which my divine will went out, and in place darkness, miseries, weaknesses entered, which formed the woodworm to all the goods of man. So if he has any good without my divine will, if he has any at all, they are worm-eaten, moldy, without substance, therefore without strength and without value. And I, who loves him so much in the first days of my life down here, wanted to submit myself to the circumcision, suffering a most cruel cut to the point of snatching my baby tears. And by this wound, I opened the door to the human will to let it enter again into mine, so that this wound of mine might heal the wound of the human will and might enclose man once again in my divine fiat, which would remove from him the word woodworm, the miseries, the weaknesses, the darkness, and by virtue of my omnipotent fiat, all of his goods would be redone and restored. Amen, fiat.
Okay, before we go to the passage, we can go through the catechism. I want to go to 376. And the church tells us there that by the readings of the grace, is referring to the grace that Adam lived before, with which the church also says it was a participation, a share in the divine life. It says by virtue of this grace, by this divine life running in him, in the state of grace, it says that all dimensions of his life were confirmed. As long as he remained in the divine intimacy, man, Adam, will not have to suffer or die. He says the inner harmony of the human person, the harmony between man and woman, and finally, the harmony between the first couple and all creation comprised the state called the original justice. So we see that in that first epoch of his life, Adam enjoyed all this harmony. Harmony, it says, all the dimensions of man, it says, and they were confirmed into that state of being in the state of original justice, in the participation of the divine life. It says also that in 376, it says the mastery over the world that God offers man, which is Adam from the beginning, was realized above all within man himself, because he possessed, the catechism says, mastery of himself. The first man was an empire and orders in his whole being because he was free from the concupiscence that subjugates him to the pleasures of the senses. So in the first epic of his life, he was not subject to concupiscence. He didn't possess this. And this is exactly what the Lord is telling us in the passage that we just read, that in that first epic of his life, all that he did in that unity, it was in such a harmony that it was in the state of grace, he gave complete glory to God. But after he departed, we see that all this harmony, the mastery of himself, he lost the mastery of himself. And instead of having harmony within him, we see the chaos. So we see that through that rupture, the rupture of the human and the divine, that separation brought about all the miseries, all the darkness, the weaknesses that enters into the acts of Adam. And we see this, we name those in the church. We have seven names for them, which is laziness, gluttony, envy, jealousy, grief, all of these lust, all of these capital sins. So that's what forms the miseries of men. But all this concupiscence enter also through that rupture, through that separation. Because as the church tells us, at the beginning, Adam was in complete harmony. He possessed the mastery also of himself. So now by departing from this union, so we know all these miseries, we know that in baptism, we recover that sonship, basically. So we become sons and daughters of God the Father. And we are restored by the sacrifice of Christ that he suffered on the cross, by his death, his passion, his resurrection. He paid for us on our behalf. So he has reconciled us with God the Father. But even that salvation is not imposed. That salvation is free. And in baptism, we basically go and receive all that forgiveness that flows from the cross. And we receive that grace in baptism, so we become sons and daughters. But again, it's by free will. And in there, we recover basically what we lost, because we recovered the ability to operate in this way. Now, the problem is that we don't know that it's there, but it's restoring baptism, this gift of being able to operate the divine life in us, to be able to operate in us, is restoring baptism through the sacrifice of Christ. And we go and basically we receive it there. So when our Lord mentions the concupiscence and all of this, and in the catechism, concupiscence is mentioned. So that is something that remains after baptism. In baptism, we receive that divine presence again, because basically baptism restores us. When original sin basically is the absence of the divine life operating in the creatures. So in baptism, we receive that divine life. We become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity, and that life begins to operate in the soul of the creature. But concupiscence, which is the inclination to sin, remains. That's why we, during the whole life, we have to work so hard to acquire all the virtues, to have some kind of mastery of self, self-mastery. But now with this knowledge of the Book of Heaven, where the Lord gives to Luisa Picarreta, now we know how we let the divine will have its field of action in us, that we know that it is through the human acts. It is through the human will allowing the divine will. Then the Lord mentions here how, why the significance of the symbol and the significance of having that ritual perform on him, the circumcision, and he mentions here why. So it, through this, he had to go through, really assume his human, the humanity, and to really restore us. So basically, the same thing that he is doing in the miracles, when he is healing the blind, of course, we see at the physical level, he's restoring the physical sight, but at the spiritual level, is restoring the spiritual sight to be able to see him again. Because after that rupture, that separation of the human with the divine, then we were not, we became basically spiritually blind, spiritually crippled, spiritually paralyzed. All the miracles that you see that our Lord performs, we became spiritually dead. All the miracles that you see that our Lord performs at the spiritual level, they have another meaning, that they enable us to walk the path of life again, the life of grace. So in this, it's telling us that it's opening the door again for that, it's healing that wound that happened when that separation came. So that is what is happening at the spiritual level. The Lord is healing that in through his humanity. And if we see that now through sacred scripture, we hear that the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah now is being fulfilled, fulfilled really in our Lord, is by going to that ritual. And if we look at the book of heaven, we look at the catechism, we look at sacred scripture, now we see that when the prophet Isaiah says, through his wounds, you were healed. He's the first, basically. Through that, he's healing us, through that wound. He's healing that separation, so he's enabling all of us to be able to go back to that union. So in that, in this passage, then we can see why. Of course, that, as we say, that inclination to sin remains after baptism, and that's something that we have to work on to acquire the virtues. The more virtuous we become, the more we acquire virtues, the more we are confirmed in the gift of living in his will. The catechism says that all the dimensions of men were confirmed. Again, they use the catechism uses this term, confirm. All the dimensions of him were confirmed in that gift, in the possession of that gift that he, in which he was created. We were not created with that gift because we lost it through Adam. All of us now that we live after the fall, but we are called to recover that gift, to go back to the possession of this gift. And for that, of course, we need the sacraments first, then because in baptism, everything initiates, everything begins in baptism. So of course, we need the sacraments, we need the sacramental life, but through this gift, we will advance in a way faster, because then every single act in union with this will of God operating in us, it will confirm us also in the possession of that gift to advance, that one day we may be able to possess it. So I think we can go to the next passage if we have time. Mm-hmm.
February 10th, 1929. I was doing my round in the creation to follow all the acts of the divine fiat did and is still doing in it. Not only this, but my poor mind kept tracing everything that the divine volition had done in Adam and in all generations before and after redemption. It seemed to me that all the acts done by divine will, both in creation and in creatures, were more than sons, which I was to follow, to embrace, and to make my own. And even though I was doing that, my poor heart could not help feeling the tortures of the privation of Jesus, my highest good. And he, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, courage, the soul who lives in my divine will and follows its acts, my fiat continues its creation. And in each of its acts which she follows, it assumes the attitude of forming its creations. And then my divine fiat is happy when it sees all of its acts in the soul who lives in it, all lined up and ordered like a new creation. And therefore, a new heaven, a new sun, a sea more beautiful, a flowering more surprising. And then, since the act of creating man was the most beautiful, the most tender, done in an ardor of love, the most intense, it wants to repeat over the creature who lives in my volition, the acts which we did in the act of creating man. And oh, how my fiat puts itself in feast in repeating its acts, because only in the soul who lives in my fiat can it keep its act of creating things it has done as well as new things going. In fact, the
Let's
soul...
Okay. For a minute.
Sure.
Yeah. So one of the things that we see here also, and we have as we continue to read the Book of Heaven and the Book of Adam, is what Luisa is doing. Because remember, Luisa is, for us, is a model also to follow what she is doing. Luisa, born like us, she needed to be baptized. She was taught by our Lord. She was formed by our Lord and all of this, so that we can see through her example how we can start living this life. Because somebody can say, well, the Blessed Mother is the example. Yes, the Blessed Mother is the example. But somebody can say also, but she was operating in this gift by grace. The Blessed Mother is a creature, but she was preserved from original sin. Luisa was not preserved from original sin. So it is important for us to see what Luisa is doing. This is from volume 25, and you see Luisa as she continues to learn, as she continues to receive all these messages from the Lord. You see that even her language is changing, and you see what she is doing always, all the time, because basically these are the new prayers that people who know the divine will, people who study the divine will, they have to say, basically. And as we read the Book of Heaven, it has to change us also, the way, even the way we pray. Because remember, this gift is to recover the original state of grace, to go back in that operation. Of course, we are not going to go back to the Garden of Eve. No, but the point is that God wants us to have what Adam possessed before the fall, what Jesus possessed by nature and the Blessed Mother by grace, and Luisa by having the divine will continuously operating in her. So what we see in this passage is that Luisa is doing basically the rounds of creation, she says. She's, as In the higher volumes, she will say, I was following the divine acts. The definition that I want to give of what I like to use when I say the divine acts, or when Luisa says she was following the divine acts. The divine acts is everything that the Blessed Trinity has done out of love for all of us. Those are the acts of God, of the Blessed Trinity, and then we can separate them. God, the Father, creates. So you see that in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis in the Bible, which is a wonderful way also to do the rounds, to go and to put your I love you, I praise you, your thank you, your act of love and thanksgiving and adoration. In the moment that God says, fiat lux, let it be light. And then as the other events unfold through that single command, let it be light, as you see that then there is a separation of the light from the darkness, and then the day is the light is called day, the darkness is called night, and all of that. And as they all these events unfold, just by issuing one word, then you can put your I love you and all of that. So Luisa Picarreta uses this language. So when I say that she was following the divine acts is everything that the Blessed Trinity has done out of love for us. So then you have right there in the book of Genesis, what God the Father did. Then you see the incarnation, the Annunciation. That's what Jesus, the acts of the second person of Blessed Trinity. And then you see how we call those the redemption, the acts of redemption. And then we can even say the acts of sanctification, which is everything that the Holy Spirit does, which basically the Holy Spirit is present and it operates in all the sacraments. So when Luisa Picarreta says that she was following all these rounds in creation, basically, she is doing all of that. In other part of the Book of Heaven, this is very specific, and she says mentally. Because remember, she has seen all of this. Our Lord has taken her soul out of her body, and she is able to see all of this. So it's impressed in her mind. It's impressed in her memory. So for her, it's very easy. Imagine that imagine that the Lord will take us out of the body, and then we will be able to see the whole Testament, the Old Testament, the New Testament. Then it will be impressed in our mind already. It will be very easy for us just to go around and thank Him for everything. So that's why Luisa Picarreta does it mentally. It's very easy for her because she has seen it and it's impressing her. For us, it's not like that. But we have the Bible. We know everything that Jesus did through the Bible and even through other private revelations like Maria Valtorta with her work, the gospel as it was revealed to me, that's what she writes, which is on the same level of Luisa Picarreta. Is a private revelation. But through that particular private revelation, we see the life of Jesus, the 3 years of ministry of our Lord Jesus. So imagine if you were able to see that, it will be already impressed in your mind, so it will be easy for you to do that. That's why Luisa Picarreta, she doesn't need books. It's all in her mind, so she's just following. As we learn to do this, as we read the Book of Heaven, we should start doing our rounds too. Because remember, this is not only to gain knowledge. As we read more, and we start exercising ourselves in the divine will, or letting the divine will operate in us, we should be doing these prayers, because basically these are prayers. The Catechism tells us that prayer is raising your heart and your mind, your whole being to God in an act of adoration. So as we see the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that God has created out of love for us, we just put our, I love you, I thank you, I adore you, I glorify you. We give a correspondence of love. And what it does in us, remember in previous passages, those who have been in this series, we read that in Adam, there was a void in his soul. And this void, the Lord says, was supposed to be filled with all his acts. So as he will see the sun and say, I thank you, I adore you, then a new sun will be created. The light of the sun basically will be created in that, in his soul. He will feel that light, basically. So in that way, he was imitating God the Father who creates. In that way, Adam was imitating his heavenly Father. And this is exactly what volume 14, May 27, 1922, about the revealing and the actual act says that happens in the soul. One sun more refulgent, more beautiful than the others. So all our acts today, they are brighter than the ones we did yesterday and the ones a minute before. Because this is what happens, the soul. So the creature, us, we are supposed to imitate God the Father by going around thanking, adoring, glorifying him, recognizing what he has done for us. And in the same, when we read the Bible, even when we go to Mass and we hear the gospel and all the miracles that Jesus performs, we just put our thank you, I love you, our thanksgiving. We recognize and we thank him for what he has done for us. How many times have we thanked Jesus for having died on the cross for us? Or for giving us his Eucharist, his body, blood, soul, and divinity, the Eucharist. So this is to follow. These are new prayers in a way. So this is the new prayers that Luisa is doing. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to leave our traditional prayers. No. We have to continue doing the same, you know, because living in the divine will doesn't mean to change what we are doing. Those who are married, they don't need to become monks to live in the divine will. No, everybody in their own vocation, the only thing that we need to change is the will, the mode we operate, to let the divine will operate in us. So when we pray the rosary, when we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet and all of that, we let the divine will operate in us, in our movement. Then these new prayers, when we go around thanking, adoring, glorifying God for everything, basically these are the new prayers here in the divine will, because this is the mode Adam was operating. Of course, Adam was not doing rounds of redemption. No. He was not doing rounds of sanctification. There were no sacraments at the time. He was doing the rounds of creation. So it was not too difficult of a job. We have more to do than him. And for him possessing all these gifts that he possesses by locution, complete knowledge according to his own capacity as creature. For us, it's a little more difficult because now we don't possess those gifts, but through the Book of Heaven, through these particular passages that we are reading, and we have to learn how, through the example of Luisa. So as we advance in the study of this Book of Adam, we have to start also doing or continue to do intensifying basically our rounds. This is the new way of praying. And this is what is going to hasten the gift of the divine will to be able to operate in other creatures, because the kingdom of the divine will is already here. It's right here in us as we immerse ourselves in the divine will, as we invite the divine will to operate in us, to breathe in us, to palpitate in us, to hear, right? It's already operating in us. It's right here. But how is it going to be expanded and be known so that other creatures be able to operate? What it will haste is the acts that we do in union with that. And then these rounds, these new prayers, in a way, we can say, these are the new prayers in the divine will. We go around thanking, adoring, glorifying God. And in a way, these are not new. The only thing that we learn from here is we see basically the how. Because the church tells us in the Catechism in 66 that, of course, there will be no other revelation, that Jesus is the revelation of God the Father. There is no other revelation to be expected. So that's already complete in the person of Jesus, is the fullness of revelation. But also the church recognizes that even though we have the fullness of revelation, it is not being made explicit, explicated. But it remains for the church to understand its significance, to understand the meaning. And actually the last passage that we read is a beautiful example of this, of what the church is saying, because in no other passage, or not in the Bible, not in the gospel, Jesus tells us, or the evangelists, they don't tell us why, what is the meaning of that circumcision. Now, this is a beautiful example to illustrate that. It's a beautiful example to illustrate that now through this private revelation, we understand who Jesus is in a deeper way. So we go deep. And then the gospel has a new meaning for us now. Remember, Jesus says to Peter, cast your nets deep into the sea. So by reading these passages, meditating, and by doing these prayers of going around, following the divine acts, thanking, adoring, glorifying, corresponding, we are casting our nets into the deep sea of the divine will in which we all belong. The divine will is our source, is the source of everything that exists. And God wants us to be drinking at every moment little sips and sips and sips and sips of his will until we be totally inundated, totally eclipsed with this light. So let's continue, please.
In fact, the soul lends to it her nothingness emptied, which my volition uses as the space to create what it wants, almost as it made use of the void of the universe in order to spread the heavens, to create the sun, to put boundaries to the sea, so that the earth might form its beautiful flowerings. And this is the reason why you go around in the acts of my fiat, and why in your mind are passing through something like many waves of light through which you follow and feel impressed in yourself, like in many scenes, the act of creation, man in the act of being created, the queen of heaven in the act of being conceived, the word descending, and many other acts done by my will. It is the power of my creating fiat who always wants to be at work, always give without ever ceasing. Therefore, be attentive, for this is dealing with something too great, no less than your having to remain in the act of the continuous undergoing act of my creating will. It will feel it has not completed its work in you if it does not see all of its acts enclosed in your soul as the attestation and triumph of its reigning in you. Therefore, all your attention must be in looking at whether all of its acts have life in you. And do you know how these acts are created in you? On your part, by recalling them, recognizing them and loving them. And on the part of my volition, by pronouncing its fiat over your call and over your love, forming the life of its acts in you. And the continuity of its work in you is such that it does not stop even in seeing you tortured by the pain of my privation, because it has much to do, and therefore it moves on. And I let it do so, because you and I must give primacy to our volition in everything, for the just triumph of its cause, and to give it the field in order to form its kingdom. Volume 25, February 10th, 1929. Amen, fiat.
A beautiful passage. You see, the Lord says here, is the soul. The soul is the space. The divine will uses the space in the soul, which this uses our soul as the space through which the divine will operates. Then he says, it tells us how Luisa follows again. Everything is impressed in her. So she goes around. As she goes around, it says, by recalling, how do you correspond? It says, by recalling, recognizing, and loving. It's like very simple lesson that he's doing. Of course, again, we don't have that impression in us. It's not impressed in our souls because we haven't seen what Luisa saw. But that's why we study even the Bible and other private revelations, the catechism. In the Canticle of Daniel, you see that it's in there, basically he's doing rounds of creation. Angels of the Lord, bless the Lord. You heavens, bless the Lord. All you waters above the heavens, bless the Lord. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Mountains and hills, bless the Lord. So it goes all the way. That's a little glimpse, basically, of what Luisa Picaretta is doing, of what Adam was doing before the fall. So now we know that mentally, and of course with the use of some writings, we can use the writings and all of that, which, as I mentioned, we can use the two chapters of the book of Genesis to do our rounds. You can use the Gospels to do the rounds of redemption. But he tells us very simple how. By recalling, recognizing, and loving them. And he says, as you recall, recognize all the acts, is that that void in you is being filled. I am able to create the light of the sun, to recreate the light of the sun in your soul, the beauty of the flowers, all that he did outside that we see in creation. Basically, he's able to recreate it, that love that he had when he was creating that. He's able to output again that love, but now to concentrate it in every one of us. The word that he uses is to centralize. He's able to centralize all his love that he had for all the creatures. Imagine the love that he has for all the creatures, past, present, future, for all the human race in general. He's able to compress it. The word is centralize it and to put it in your soul. As you go around and you recognize, you recall, you love. And then, so you recall, you love, that is your part. And then he impresses, basically he reaffirms or confirms you in the possession of that gift. This is, and do you know how these acts are created in you? On your part, by recalling them, recognizing them, and loving them. So that's one side. Then he says, in all my part, on the part of my volition, by pronouncing its fiat over your calling, over your love, forming the life of its acts in you. So imagine as, to give you an example, imagine as you go around and you say, you do what he's saying here. This is a beautiful example of how to do rounds, how to follow the divine acts. As you recall and you recognize and you say, thank you for creating the sun out of love for me. I thank you. I love you. That's your part. Remind that by you saying that, now his part is saying, fiat lux, let it be light. But now let it be light where? In your soul, in that act of recognition. God recalling, we can say remembering all the love that he has for all the creatures, and he centralizes all that love. He makes it one, and he gives it to your soul again. And as the same as you go around recognizing the other, and you move from creation to redemption, it says, let's read this again. And on the part of my volition, by pronouncing its fiat over your call and over your love, forming the life of its acts in you, and the continuity of his work in you is such that it does not stop even if seeing you tortured by the pain of my privation. So Luisa Picaretta, she complains that because she doesn't feel the presence, the consolation. And our Lord Jesus says, even if you don't see my presence, that doesn't mean that I'm not there. I'm not operating. It continues. It is not stop. Because it has such to do, and therefore I move, it moves on. Let it do so. Because you and I must give primacy to our volition in everything, to the divine will. The divine will must have its field of action in us in everything. Whether we feel it, we feel that consolation, or whether we go through suffering and we feel abandoned, we must let the divine will operate in us. And he says, why? For the just triumph of the divine will. So, and to give it the feel in order to form his kingdom. Basically, this is what Luisa Picarreta learned to do over the years of instruction as our Lord prepared her and formed her. We, through the Book of Heaven, through the teaching of the Church, we see that this is what we are called to do. It's everywhere. We just have to really understand that this is it. This is what we are supposed to possess. This is what God intended for us. And that he wants to constantly unleash that love in our souls. So let's finish with that